You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
This morning, we have Lucinda King from... Death and the Maiden. We're talking to Lucinda about playing Pearl Diver. Good morning to you, Lucinda.
Kia ora, Zach. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, man. My pleasure. How are you doing this morning?
I'm pretty good. It's lovely to be here. Danny would have been here, but his car wouldn't start, so...
Danny would have been here.
He would have been here.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Woulda, coulda.
But no, I'm very, very glad to have you here. You recently played at Space Academy, correct?
Yeah.
On the 28th?
Yeah, last Friday.
Yes, how was that?
It was just lovely.
Mean. Yeah. I hear that, you know, Christchurch is kind of on the up when it comes to live music. They're trying to save their venues more, which is cool.
It has such a good feel going to Christchurch. I love going there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Good food too, man. When I went there in August, I was wowed with the good options.
Yeah.
It was mean. It was mean as. But yeah, a year and a half since the last record, Uneven Ground, came out.
A year and a half? Oh,
a
my goodness.
A year and a half. I know, time just flies by. Reflecting on it, what kind of moods or nuances did it capture that kind of still resonate with you today?
Melancholic things with like dance beats will always resonate with me. Mm. I think that's always been like a theme that we've done through our music, and I don't think I'll ever probably leave that behind.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of mood always flows through things, and I guess there's always a lot of things to do with dealing with grief. I don't know why I get quite hung up on that, so that always flows through, and I guess that's a big part of life.
Mm.
So that still hangs around, I mean, especially what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of inspiration when it comes to that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I guess that's
It's
always going to be an inspiration, I think.
Well, you've said that the band started from a desire to be, to make sad dance music.
Yeah, that's right. That was a long time ago we said that. But yes, it's still doing that.
Yeah. Well, you've made three albums now. Do you think, is it still the driving force of musical exploration?
I guess, to be honest, now I don't think so much about what I'm going to make. It's just how things come out. Like, the way I write is different now. I have a small child, and the band room is now her bedroom, so I have a desk outside her room, and I make everything in headphone land now rather than jamming out loud how I used to. So it's kind of just like I have no idea what it's going to be. I just sit down and just make something like that.
Mm.
Like, it's the way I approach things now.
I mean, this is kind of a generic question, but how has being a parent changed your life and an approach to music making?
I fully didn't understand how much it would change your life. It is very different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've been making a lot of music, I think, because your alone time is quite, like...
precious.
Well, I've got to do something to get stuff done. But
yeah.
So that's actually quite a positive. I love being pregnant. I love my child. She's amazing.
I love my child.
I love my child. She's getting into writing songs.
Like, oh, wow. How old is she?
She's just turned 3.
Oh, wow. And she's already writing songs.
Well, writing songs.
Hungry, hungry caterpillar.
Yeah, I can hear her all the time exploring with, like, melody. Interesting melody, but, like, it's awesome to... here and like discovering reverb. Like, she was at my partner's stairwell at work, and she was making a song and with the reverb. I'm like, I feel really excited about things like that.
That's so lovely.
Yeah,
that's so lovely. Oh my gosh. As I mentioned before, Death and the Maiden kind of originated from a desire to make sad dance music. What do you think is the saddest Death and the Maiden song?
The saddest one?
Mm.
Maybe Bioluminescence from the first album, potentially.
Mm.
I haven't listened to that for a very, very long time.
A bit of a personal one.
I always felt sad when we were playing. What to me. Oh, lots of, yeah. Also, there's a song about my grandmother who I was very close to, which is the one Nola.
Mm.
So I wrote that after she passed away.
Man.
So I guess that... I generally have tears in my eyes when we play that one. So
oh, man.
That's actually the
Do you play it very often, or is it pretty rare?
Rare, probably.
Yeah. Every chance we get.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, one of the things I really love about Death and the Maiden is how you order instruments in a really fascinating way. Mm. You've got the drum machine and bass sort of being these intermingling dual forces at the front, while the guitar provides a very somber, thick atmosphere and foundation. How do you sort of land at this arrangement when you came through as a band? Back in 2015.
Originally, actually, we probably started actually in 2012.
Oh, true.
But back in that time, we called ourselves Lucinda, and it was me and Danny trying to do, like, pop music.
Whoa.
But then it evolved into Getting Hope, which was Death and the Maiden. But so originally it was just Danny and I making things. So she was later, we tricked her into coming because she didn't want to play guitar anymore, so we said she could do percussion.
Mm-hmm.
but really we were getting her to play guitar. But that's sort of how it started. So that's why I guess that guitar has that sort of, still how we write, she kind of comes on later.
So she's
accompanying over the top of like the spine of like the bass and the drum beats.
Yeah, sort of fleshing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, which is dope, because I don't think I've ever like heard a band that has quite that arrangement, yeah. You know, it's really one of one.
We definitely like, yeah, there's a lot of thought into like leaving room for what she's going to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of thought goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in a way, kind of almost, I mean, her guitar sounds a little bit post-rocky in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I love post-rock.
Yeah.
But you're playing at Pearl Diver tomorrow evening. What's kind of going to be on display? Is it going to be a mix of things from across your discog?
I think I'll probably try to do, we'll try to do 4 new songs.
True.
Yeah.
True, true, true.
Like I said, I've been writing a lot since having a small person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're going to try doing 4 of those.
Cool.
Mixed with a bunch of old things, so yeah.
Will you play Flowers for the Blind?
Would you like us to?
I would. I mean, I'm working that night, but okay. In spirit, yeah. I will be there.
But potentially. It hasn't been one that we practice, but I mean, probably would be all right, maybe, potentially.
Because I think when I first started volunteering here, when I started volunteering here, that was like one of the real standouts from our station playlist.
Yeah.
And it's like one of my first intros into New Zealand music.
Yeah. That one's from 2012.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Real, real, real.
It's because the dates that came out, when I wrote those, it was a lot earlier, but yes.
Damn. Cool. Well, you mentioned just before that you've been working on some new stuff.
Mm.
Can we expect to see another body of work come out soon?
Well, we take a long time. We'll probably tinker for some time.
Mm.
The body of work could be done, but I don't know. Yeah, we take a long time to get to the publishing point, probably.
Mm. Are you like a kind of perfectionist-y? Or very particular?
Potentially.
Mayhaps.
Mayhaps. I don't know. I feel like some things just take time.
They sure
I'm
do.
Actually very quick at songwriting, though. Like, I am personally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Should take longer.
What's like the longest part about making an album for you guys?
Probably when you like the actual recording and figuring out how you're going to put something out.
Mm.
I'm not as technologically savvy as I should be with social media and those things.
Yeah, do you have an Instagram as a band?
We do.
Band?
But I feel I come from like the Tumblr early Facebook back in the day era.
Right.
Like, that was the time.
Yeah.
I think now I'm just like.
Came from Netscape Navigator type era.
Yeah. I kind of struggle with the whole talking to the camera about things.
Yeah.
And the I don't know, it's a very different.
Filming yourself on social media, I hate it. I can't stand it.
And I know that's what you kind of need to do now, but it doesn't feel comfortable.
Mm. And if it doesn't feel comfortable, then just don't do it.
Hence, here we are. Like, I don't know. Like,
Oh, man. Well, one, I guess, last question I have for you. New Year's Eve plans. What are you thinking?
Probably put a child to bed and then maybe reading.
Nice.
I haven't actually thought that far ahead.
Oh, true.
I know that's weird, but yeah.
True. No, that's fair enough.
Sorry, that was the most boring answer.
No, it's honest. This is what I appreciate. You're not going to go to Rhythm and Alps or anything?
Oh, but maybe. But no, definitely not.
No, very chill. What are you going to read? What are you reading at the moment?
I'm really into sort of kind of unsettling, like slightly unhinged fiction. I work in a library.
Oh, okay. But, okay.
So what did I just read? I'm actually reading Aileen at the moment, which is a Tessa Moshfa one, but I have a massive stack to read by my bed. I quite like reading translated Korean fiction.
Mm.
I like that there's always this sort of, there's a slight distance when you're reading translated fiction, which I enjoy.
Mm.
But,
what about Korean fiction sort of captures you?
I guess it depends what you're reading. But do you know Han Kang?
Nah, I'm not much of a reader myself.
She won that big prize recently. She's amazing. She wrote a book called The Vegetarian.
Mm.
And one's about like Gwangju uprising and things in South Korea. But I don't know. There's, like I said, like I read the ones that are quite like slightly unhinged narrators and things like that. Just this nice unsettling otherworldly sort of feel to sort of everyday situations.
Mm. Well, it feels kind of, apt for the music you make.
Yes. Yeah.
Which we'll be playing some very shortly. Folks, if you want to go see Death and the Maiden, they are playing tomorrow with Maxine Fjunke.
Maxine Funk. She's
Funk and
amazing.
Yes. Yeah. How do you choose these two opening acts?
I think I've always wanted to play a show with Maxine, and my partner a few years ago made a couple of videos for her, and so I just remember listening to them quite a bit and just being like, man, this is cool. And she recently put out a new album that we've been listening to. So that was a given. And Siphons, I personally haven't heard Siphons yet, but Danny is very excited about Siphons, upcoming electronic musician. So I'm very excited to see that because I haven't seen it yet, so it's going to be a surprise for me.
And it's dope. I feel like so many people can just summarize the Dunedin scene as quite guitar or rocky driven, but you know, with bands like you and a few other bits and pieces, it's good to, you know, have some electronic-y vibes in there.
Thank you.
No worries. But yeah, folks, Death and the Maiden are playing at Pearl Diver tomorrow with Maxine Funk and Siphons at 8 p.m. You can find tickets from Under the Radar. Thank you for coming on the program, Lucinda. Do you have any final thoughts, words, considerations for our lovely listeners?
I've just got nothing in my brain this morning. I'm sorry. Have a lovely day.
Have a lovely day indeed. All right. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. People, that was Lucinda King from Death and the Maiden. They're going to be playing Pearl Diver tomorrow. You can find tickets from Under the Radar. We're going to play Leanest Cut by Death and the Maiden right now at 10. And then at 10:15, we'll be talking to Martin Sagadin about their new album. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.